Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. It is 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America, and I want to welcome you all to Finding Your Hidden Treasure. My name is Angelica, and I am absolutely, absolutely excited because we have another great show today. So today it is Friday, and it is a wonderful Friday here in South Florida. And today what we'll be talking about is really what is taking place in our community. Are you truly informed what's happening in your own backyard? I'm not saying across the country. I'm not saying in another state. I'm not even saying in another part of the world. Really, what is happening in your own backyard, in your community. As born and raised in the grassroots movements in South Florida since the 80s, since I was born around that time, and always had a connection with the community, it's mind-blowing what's taking place. And when you're not informed, when you don't know what's going on, when you're not connected to the community, it is unfortunate some of the things that are taking place right before our very eyes. So I am really going to talk about today things that we need to know. How can we be more engaged in our community? Not really what we need to know, because everybody has different passions. Everybody has different concerns and needs. So I don't want to impose that upon anyone. But what I will say is that we need to be engaged in our communities, and not only when there's a death, God forbid, or when there's a tragedy, but we need to be proactive instead of reactive. So today that's what we're going to be talking about, but I'm really, really excited. But before we have the show today, I want to pay respects. I want to thank Ms. Tangela Sears, Ms. Sabrina Fulton, which is Trayvon Martin's mom. They had an event last night for a legislative forum hosted by them, as well as the mothers and parents who have murdered children. And I really want to have a moment of silence for all the youth that have died in this city here in Miami-Dade, as well as around the country. It's unfortunate that our young children are dying before not just their parents, but before their older relatives. And I think it's something that we need to wake up and pay attention to and to be more active and engaged in the process, whether it's having more demands on the police system, having more demands in our legislators, having more demands in safety in our schools. Whatever the demand needs to be done, we need to take an active role in that. So before we begin today's show, I want to take a moment of silence and pay respect to the children who have lost their lives, but most of all to those parents, those families that have to live on with a lot, with one less life in their family that died prematurely. So please, if we could have a moment of silence for that. Yes, so it is something to, I don't have kids yet, but I can only sympathize with these parents and these families. So I do want to challenge everyone who's listening and those who will be listening in the future, is that whether you have a child or not, whether you have a young cousin or a sibling or whatever the case may be, that we should all be a part of this conversation and talking about how can we make our community safe. I remember when I was growing up that I would be able to go and play in my front yard. I can go down the street or even walk to a friend's house who was a few blocks down the way. My parents would not question when I was coming home or where I was going because they felt so safe. Unfortunately, nowadays, no matter if you live in a nice community or not, or no matter where you live, doesn't matter if you live in a nice community or not, no matter where you live, crime does not discriminate, especially crime against young people do not discriminate. So that's enough in the soapbox as that event happened last night, so it's still touching my heart. So I just wanted to make sure that we take an active role and not only let the burden be on these parents and families and activists like Tangela Sears taking on that burden, but we should all be playing a role some way, shape, or form. So today what I really want to talk about is our communities. How engaged are we in our communities? How informed are we in our communities to know what is going on? And the reason why I say that is because as a community activist and grown up in an era where it was not the civil rights movement of the African-American community or in the U.S., but it was a civil rights movement that was happening in South Florida and Miami-Dade, especially for the immigrants, especially those coming from Haiti. So, and having that experience and that exposure, my uncle being the late father, Dr. Gerard Jean-Gis, who's considered a Dr. Martin Luther King for the Haitian community, it is an eye-opening, and it's always been a concern to me because growing up, my family was very involved as activists and advocates, from my uncle to fighting for the rights of the immigrants and other people who were being unjustly, bad treatment or illegal treatment, but also even my parents and other family members who were always an advocate in some way, shape, or form, no matter how big or small. They always told me growing up that I should always be the voice for the voiceless and that I should always be an advocate in some way, shape, or form. And what I truly learned from that, and that still stayed with me, that one voice can make a difference. It may take a long time, but if you continue to be that thorn in someone's side, or you continue to be the one who has the bullhorn and you're expressing your concerns, eventually you'll be heard. Because in the Bible, there was a woman who went to a judge, and she was persistent in telling the judge her case. And because of her persistence, and she did not give up, eventually she got justice. Eventually she was able to, her case was able to be heard, and the judge granted it in her favor. And so that's the same thing we need to have. You know, we're very persistent when it comes to our goals and dreams. We're very persistent if we want to do business or school or achieve certain goals or achieve certain things in life. But when it comes to community activism, when it comes to being an advocate in our communities, we need to be just as persistent or even more. I know me personally, I'm a very ambitious person. I'm very driven. I'm very determined. And I'm a go-getter. I'm a mover and shaker, as many people would say. I don't say that myself, but a lot of people tell me that. And I don't give up. I don't give up on a lot of things that I do, and I don't give up on causes that I believe in. And so I think it's the same thing that we need to have when it comes to what the concerns are happening in our community. Living in South Florida and various parts of South Florida, living in other parts of the country, I've seen a lot despite my young age. I've been exposed to a lot of different things despite my young age. But what I've come to realize is that being involved in our communities is one thing to complain. It's one thing to criticize, but it's another thing to actually put action to those concerns. Whether it's going to town hall meetings, whether it's being involved on community advisory boards, whether it's being involved in starting organizations such as neighborhood watch groups or PTA meetings, PTA groups, or some kind of advocacy group or a group that's a group of people that have similar concerns or are like-minded and addressing some issues. Whatever that is, we need to be able to be active in that process. You know, some people's like, well, I don't have time. I have this, I have that. A lot of things are going on in life. But yet, what happened if that one concern hits close to home and it happens to you? And that one concern hits so close to home that it happens to you, then you're going to say, now it's time to move forward. Now it's time to be active because it hit home. But why do we have to wait until it hits home for us to be active? Why do we have to wait until, God forbid, the situation is so close to us that that's when we have to feel like we need to do something about it? And I am a very proactive person. I try not to be reactive. I try to be preventative in my efforts. I try to bring awareness and education everything that I do. As a love of the community, from a community health educator to a community activist to a healthcare professional activist to an activist in various levels, I think it's very, very important, especially having that conversation with young people. We need to engage our youth and our young adults more in civic engagement. It's one thing that to have our parents and our grandparents tell us their experiences and what they've done in the community. But the question I always ask myself is, after Dr. King passed away at such a young age but was able to accomplish so much, just as Jesus was. Jesus died at a young age, but he was able to accomplish so much in such a short time span. Now the question is, who is the next in line? Who is the leader that would take forefront of certain issues in our communities, whether it's gun violence, whether it's school safety, whether it's the economy, whether it's quality access to health care, whether it's quality to legal services, whether it's quality to public safety, whatever those concerns and issues are, who is the leader that's going to stand up? And sometimes people say, well, I can't do it. I don't have time to do it. Someone else will. But realize that same thing you say to yourself, many other people are saying it to themselves as well. So imagine if there's 100 people in a room and everyone is saying that to themselves, then no one is doing the work. No one is being active in their community. So that's one of the things to me in my heart today. I really want to talk about how to be civically engaged, how to be active in your community. As we just had the primary presidential election a few weeks ago, now we know who our potential two nominees for each of the parties are. Now the question is, how are we going to move forward? How are we going to let them know what our concerns are? Because I tell constituents, even as a candidate, I tell constituents and I tell people I meet in the community, you are the employer to their elected officials, whether at a city, the county, whatever local level, state level, and federal level. We are the ones that put them in office by our votes, and we pay their salary by our tax dollars. So we need to be just as a boss. If you are in a if you are an employer in a company or you own the company and you have people working for you, you would tell them what they need to do and make sure they were accountable and responsible in doing their governance on what they were given. That's the same thing we need to do with elected officials. That's the same thing we need to do with people who are representing the communities, is to keep them accountable, one, but as well as to let them know that they have a responsibility to the people that put them in office. They have responsibility to the people that they're supposed to be representing. And so when we talk about, oh, I just voted and that's it, no, it's not just voting. That's really the first step. That the first step is actually voting for that person. But the next step is, what are you going to do next? How are you going to keep them accountable? And another thing that I tell people in the community is that when you meet with elected officials or you meet with candidates, treat it as a business meeting. When you're at a business meeting, each party has an agenda. Each party has an agenda. Each party has something they're bringing to the table. That's the same thing we need to do when we meet with elected officials and candidates. Have our own agendas. What are those agendas? Some of the concerns that may be in your community, whatever those concerns are to you or to the community at large, we should be bringing those things to the table. We should not just wait for the elected officials or candidates to say, this is my platform. No, it should be, this is the concerns in our issue. How are you going to address them? How does that relate to your platform? Or even, can there be a working partnership in building that platform? I will say, for me, that's how I'm doing my campaign, but I'm not here to talk about my candidacy. Just wanted to put that out there. But it's important that we get involved in our communities. There are so many different town hall meetings, so many community events, so many things are taking place. And, you know, we just need to make sure we are there, we are present. I know I had an opportunity to invite community leaders to something that the Democratic National Convention was doing a couple of weeks ago. I sent emails to community leaders. I sent emails to people who I thought represent their communities and attend this meeting. No one came to that meeting from my mailing list. And that, to me, was very disturbing, because we have an opportunity to bring our concerns to the table of the Democratic Party. And if you're not a Democrat, then you need to find whatever party headquarters you're involved with to get involved in that conversation. But for me, as a Democrat, being invited by the DNC was an honor to me, and I wanted to extend that invitation to other communities so their concerns can be a part of the conversation, whether at the decision-making table with the leaders in the party, so when they do go and talk to candidates or when they do work on platforms or work on issues, that our issues will be included in that. And unfortunately for minorities, we tend to not attend these type of things because we think we don't matter or we don't care. But if we continue having that mindset and mentality, then how will we ever be able to let them know what the concerns are, what's taking place in our community, what kind of candidates need to represent our district, what kind of issues need to be a part of the conversation when they're doing the strategic plan or when the candidates are working on the platform or when elected officials are working on legislation or policies and procedures that would affect us. We need to open our mouths and be that voice. We truly need to open our mouths and be that voice and be heard. And yet, you may not be heard the first time, but if you continually going and going, whether if you can't go to the media, send emails. If you can't send emails, call. If you can't call, send a letter. If you can't send a letter, do whatever you have to do. Get someone else from the community or someone else who can be a surrogate at those meetings or someone who can represent the community and go to these meetings and have these conversations with the people that need to be having these conversations with. Because if we do not do that, then how do we expect our community to improve? How do we expect our community to get better? How do we expect our children to be safe? How do we expect the education system to be equal and great quality across the board? How do we expect officers to know our concerns and we'll be able to support the police officers and feel safe in our communities? How do we expect businesses to thrive, and how do we expect jobs to be made? How do we expect people to get quality to access to health care? How do we expect people to understand their civil rights? How do we expect people to get a second chance, whether they committed a crime and they're able to get their records sealed and expunged? How we expect all these different things to be done if we're not going to these events, if we're not going and letting our voice be heard? So to me, that is truly, I may be coming on very passionate because I'm really bothered. Because I hear so many concerns from people. I hear so many people complaining. But when I go to these town hall meetings or when I go to these community events, I don't see those same people who are complaining to me. And usually you see the same people over and over at these different events, and it's unfortunate. There should be more new faces each time a community event is taking place, no matter what the conversation is or the issue. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be directly related to it. I don't have kids. I never had a child murdered in my family at a young age, but yet I support those parents. I support what they're doing because it doesn't have to be that I'm directly affected by it, but because I have a passion for my community and I know it takes a village to raise a child, and whatever happens to one family really happens to all. And that's why I attend events like that. Or when I go to HOA meetings that are not even in my area, I go because I want to understand what's taking place in other communities. How can I learn from those different communities, and how can I can understand what concerns are happening throughout our community? So it is a challenge, but what I say is, you know, when we talk about Black Lives Matter, we have all these different campaigns and everything. It's one to have these events and have these campaigns, but what action are we putting behind it? What strategic plan is taking place? I'm one of those, I don't mind talking, I don't mind planning, but I want action. I want results. And at the end of the day, whatever meeting I go to or whatever conversation I have, and at the end of the conversation, I want to know what is the result, what is the plan, what is the action, what's the next step? Because me personally, I go to a lot of meetings, and I don't want to waste my time going to meetings from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting and not having any result or any conversation about what's the next step. Because we continue to have these town hall meetings, we continue to have these community events, but if we're not asking the question, what is the next step? What are we going to do from here? How are we going to improve? What plan are we going to put in place? What demand are we having on whoever is involved in that conversation? It's very, very important that we get our young people engaged. We get seniors engaged as well. Seniors think that their voice is not heard and they're marginalized from our community. No, they are very, very important, even to the point of asking them what is their wisdom, what is their insight, and how are they also in that conversation, because they still are impacted by our community. They still are part of our society. And so we need to continue having them as well in that conversation. So those are some of the concerns that I have in being involved in our communities. As there's a lot of issues I could touch up on. There's a lot of things that I could say. But once again, I don't want to impose what concerns I have noticed or what concerns I have heard on you all. I want you guys to make your own conclusions on what concerns are happening in your community that you need to be aware about. What things can you be active in and be an advocate and an activist for in order to make change? Because I truly believe if we stand up for one thing, that one thing eventually, the work, sometimes I know people get tired and fighting for a cause because they see no avail, they see no end result. But you can't give up, because look at Dr. King. He did not give up, and he knew that the struggle was going to, the result of his struggle was going to be in another generation, not in his lifetime. But he accepted that fact. So what are we willing to work towards to make sure our communities are better for generations and generations to come? Because it's one thing to focus on our personal families, but it's another thing to focus on a generation, a group of people. Because the African proverb reminds us that it takes a village to raise a child. Not only does it take a village to raise a child, let's go back to the fact that there's one person in our community that's infected in a negative way. That one person is connected to a family. And that family is connected to a community, and that community is connected to a society, and that society is connected to a state, and that state is connected to a country, and that country is connected to the world. So there is a globalization effect even happening at a very small level that we have to understand. We have to stand up for one another. We have to be able to be advocating for one another. We can't just say, well, that's not my child, that's not my problem, that didn't happen to me. No, that one day could happen to you. One day that could be your child. One day that could be your family. One day that could be you. But why do we have to wait until that happens in order for us to do something? So I say, you know, you can go online and find out the issues that are important to you, the organizations that are connected to your issues. And I also challenge us, as this is the month of March and we're celebrating Women's History Month, please do not forget to encourage a woman who is doing great things in our community. Who are those community advocates? Who are being the forefront in our communities to be the spokesperson and to address concerns and issues that are happening in our community? And so just that was just a side note, so I didn't forget. So please, it is March Women's History Month. There's a lot of women who have been trailblazers in our communities and being our community advocates. But I challenge you all, go online, type in a concern that you have and find an organization connected to it. And for the rest of this year, connect with that one organization, whether it's volunteering, whether it's finding resources for them, whether it's fundraising for them, whatever you can do to put in your time and investment to that organization, it'll be well worth it. Because I know for me, I'm involved in various things. I'm involved when it comes to education, when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to my communities, the business world. I'm involved in empowering youth through entrepreneurship and also in etiquette. I'm involved in beauty pageants, and I use the beauty pageants as a platform to bring beauty and awareness on the inside and out for women, no matter how small or big they are, how tall, how short, what color skin, what size they wear, is that truly the organizations that I connect with for the beauty pageants are opportunities to expose positive role models for girls and women around the world. Not just in our communities, not just in our country, but truly around the world. So finding out what platforms that you can use as an opportunity to bring a light and awareness to a concern that you have. So that is what I would say to that. As far as finding out what's going on in your community, do not be blind. Do not be tunnel vision. You know, and it's one thing to listen to the news, but it's another thing to actually be involved in the community. And for me personally, when I hear what's going on in the community, I don't look at the news to inform me. I actually go out into communities and find out. I use the media and the news as an opportunity to give me a lead on what's happening in my communities, but I don't allow that to inform me. I actually go out into the community. I speak to people. I get connected in organizations. I attend meetings and events to actually be connected with what those concerns are. So as this year is an election year, as there's so much going on, I do challenge you all to find a concern, a cause that you want to support, and be involved in some way, shape, or form, whether it's maybe being on a board of that organization, maybe it's funding that organization, maybe it's volunteering that organization, or maybe it's being a resource for that organization and using your skill sets for them. So that is all I have to share today, is truly be involved in your community. Be proactive instead of reactive. Anytime you see a woman who's a community activist or a trailblazer, acknowledge her, support her, and encourage her. And then also realize that your vote and your voice does matter. Yes, the primary presidential election is over. Now we're looking into August election, which is an election that I'll be a part of as a candidate for State Representative House District 108 in Miami-Dade, which includes North Miami, Miami Shores, El Portal, Biscayne Park, Liberty City, Liberty Square, Ocala Lakes, and Little Haiti, but also finding out other ways that we can be civically engaged. If you're not registered to vote, please go ahead and register to vote. If you are looking to find out how to do those things, please go to your local municipality's election department and find out how to do so. If you need to update your driver license or update any information, go ahead and do that as well, so you can make sure you have your ID when you're going to go vote, as well as register to vote. And just be engaged, be informed, and know what's going on. So once again, this was a show talking about community activism, knowing what's going on in your community, know what's going on in your backyard, not in another community, not in another state, not in another country, but in your own backyard. We need to know what's taking place right under our nose. So educate yourself, be informed, but most of all, be active and be engaged. My name is Fayo Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. We are here every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. Know that I love you all. I'm always praying for you. If you have any prayer concerns, you can connect with us on social media. I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr. And also you can email us at info@FayolaDelicaLLC.com. Once again, that's info@FayolaDelicaLLC.com. I look forward to hearing from you all, and know that it's a great weekend. I'm really, really excited because one of my friends is getting married today. So later this evening, I will be getting ready for a wonderful wedding, and I'm really excited because I think it's an awesome time to celebrate things like that. So you all take care and enjoy your weekend. And of course, this weekend is going to be once again eventful. And if you want to find out what events I attend or what's going on or what I'm all about, follow me on social media, as periodically I post the things that I'm doing and events and stuff like that. Because once again, this weekend will be very eventful, and I'm really, really excited. And just know that it's good to work hard, but it's also good to play hard. So know that you have a work-life balance. Know that life is too short. Don't take yourself so seriously. Enjoy life, but most of all, work smarter, not harder. My name is Faye Zalika, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure, here every Friday, 2 p.m. We look forward to hearing from you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.